Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're playing along at home, you'll know that our wrap-up show went for over 3 hours, so we ended up having to split it up into two parts. This part is the final part, part two of the Ferals wrap-up show, where we'll cover our thoughts about the show, where some of the cast and crew are, the best and worst episodes, and a final fitting tribute. So we'll move on to the mega credit segment. Where are they now?
This is mega credits because we've never talked about these the cast and crew as much as... Well, we've never really had an avenue to talk about them as much as this because it's always been little titbits here and there, so...
There's a few titbits. So I guess we'll start with our favourite, the only person to appear on the show, Mel Heap.
Yes. And just an update, he's still an awesome dude. So,
yep, very cool dude.
Before I get into everybody, what I just want to state is a lot of the information out there that we've been able to find is obviously through things like IMDb and whatnot. And IMDb is obviously not 100% accurate and also doesn't fully represent the amount of effort and experience that people put into their careers, you know, in television and film and whatnot. So I don't want this to be, you know, us saying this is all that they've done, because a lot of the work that these guys have done is clearly uncredited, and I just want to make that clear before we say this is all they've done. So so with Mel, so obviously Mel continued to work in the industry, and we had him on the show, and he gave us a bit of a rundown of, you know, what he's up to these days. But he's done, obviously, since the Ferals and around the same time, did some work in Bananas and Pajamas. He also recently played Leonard in a preschool show, Jay's Jungle, that Emma DeVries, is that how you say it, Mixie, also worked on.
Yeah.
And Mel also obviously told us about the commercial puppetry work that he does, for instance, with Dolmio's. And the fact that he runs his own photography business, which is www.heapsofphotos.com. So
exactly. So if you live in Sydney and you need a photographer, get Mel. Why not? You can have a chat about Ferals, which would be pretty funny. And, you know, I've looked through his photos. They look pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah.
to be honest, like I said at the time, if I knew this before I got the wedding photographer, I swear I would have had Mel as a wedding photographer. It would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome. So yeah, then,
but Matt's a good photographer, so.
Then we move on to Emma DeVries.
DeVries, who plays
Mixie. Yeah. And we've talked about, obviously, the fact that she continued to play Mixie on the ABC segments. She also worked on that Jay's Jungle show, which I believe was only a couple of years ago, and there was quite a lot of episodes. She actually worked on Bananas in Pajamas for a long time, and she also did voice work for a show called The Upside Down Show. So
yes,
there's not a lot of information about Emma in regards to IMDb credits and whatnot, but I imagine, like Mel and a lot of the people that stayed a bit more in the production and behind the scenes, you know, they aren't on camera with their face, a lot of the work that they've done over the years is obviously not credited.
And I think with Emma, she seemed to have sort of almost been the most successful from a puppeteering perspective and still doing what she's doing. And on the Upside Down show, just to tie it all in, The guy who plays Raddus, David Collins, is on that show as one of the umbilical brothers, and it was also executive produced by Wendy Gray.
There you go.
It was also with Ferrell, so there was a little team up there, which I thought was pretty cool.
So, about David Collins, now...
Yep.
Today, just to make sure that we're not spreading wrong information...
Smoking crack, yeah.
I tried to search for confirmation that David Collins is the umbilical brother's David Collins.
And he is, it definitely
he
is.
He is, but it's so hard to find that in 100%, like, a point of proof other than IMDb. It's so hard, man. Anyway.
No. I think he says it one time.
Okay. So, basically, David Collins, you know, as long as that's all correct, obviously has a long career as part of the Umbilical Brothers duo, and we've termed them Sonic Slapstick in the past, to the point where, obviously, they're world famous and they've been on Letterman. And I also like that they're actually always... They've dated back into the late 80s, I think it was, because they were on the Fast Forward sketch show, 91.
Mm.
Now, yeah. Mike, did you ever see Fast Forward, or was that way before your time?
No, I did. And Saturday Night Live, or whatever that Saturday show was. I saw that as well.
Sorry, was the microphone, like, on the ground or something? It sounded like you had to pick it up.
Yeah, you muted it. Lee and Mike are asleep.
Well, Mike, do you remember a sketch show called Full Frontal?
Yes.
That was kind of a carry-on from Fast Forward. It was the same style.
Okay.
But Fast Forward was very famous in those early 90s. So David Collins, he also did some puppetry work on Babe. And I believe one of the other people did. I can't remember. I've got it on my notes. But he's done heaps of stuff. But what I like, he's also done some short films, directed and acted in some short films. And one of them is called Silencer. And it actually sounds really cool. It's about a guy in a prison. Mm-hmm. And he's got a rival and everything. So that sounds really cool. Now, he also did a short film in 2014 where the actual character that he played was called The Feral. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Just on this David Collins, like, I'm the same as you. Every now and then I'm just uncertain. Because the thing about it for me is he doesn't look like the guy who plays Raddus, like, when you actually see the behind-the-scenes show. And that's the thing that, like, does me in. And I'm like, oh, is this just, like, an error on IMDb's part?
It's tough. It's tough. When you're basing everything off the internet, it's tough to know what's
correct. No, but it's not. It's not, man, because we spoke to Mel about it, remember?
I can't remember mentioning David. I cannot.
We did. I'm sure we said it. Yeah, I'm going
to
back us
you
up.
You know, I haven't listened to that episode again yet. So, anyway.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we mentioned it.
So, Darren, who was played by Terry Ryan, from what I can gather, Darren was his only acting credit, which I thought was... He did a fantastic job considering that was the only acting credit to his name. But...
Yeah, he Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was saying, but man, has he had a career when it comes to costumes and wardrobes. It's crazy. What I found really interesting is he was a wardrobe coordinator on Gallipoli, the movie.
Okay. Which you mentioned in the previous
That I wonder if he may have, although obviously it was a famous scene, he may have been the one to maybe go, hey, that montage from Gallipoli, you should play off that. And he's pretty much been working in that side of the industry since 1977. So,
wow.
Yeah, he's worked on some massive films. Now, some of these bigger than others, but he's worked on things like Sirens, which was the Al McPherson film, Muriel's Wedding.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to work on that show. On that movie.
Muriel's Wedding, Dating the Enemy, Chopper, The Hard Word, Farscape.
A lot of big
as well.
Ones.
Wow. Oh, yeah, Farscape. I love
King,
Farscape.
He worked on King Kong, Knowing, Tomorrow When the War Began. So he's worked in some massive productions. So, it's fantastic to see that someone so talented that they can work behind the scenes so well as performance-wise. So that takes us to the human cast members. So we've talked about Kylie before and her the fact that she has a sister that was in High Five and whatnot, but this is about Kylie. So she was on Home and Away, actually, before The Ferals.
And we should just clarify, this is not... fake Kylie or real Kylie. This is
Kylie who plays Robbie.
That plays Robbie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And after The Ferrells, she actually went on to a TV series that featured the actor Reese Muldoon called Us and Them. And
yep.
According to IMDb, not a lot of additional acting credits, but then this is where information gets a little bit more vague, and I didn't want to pry too much. This is just from me looking at surface-level stuff. So we know that Kylie's now based in... in the US. Yeah, in LA, and working with animals. I don't know if she's working at a zoo or whatnot. And
yeah, she's
I think
at
around
a zoo.
2008...
I think Mel said it's a zoo. Didn't
it? Yeah, I think it was a zoo.
Yeah. Like, because we've reached out to her, and she,
yeah.
I don't think she has time to do an interview, but she confirmed that she's working at the zoo.
Has she confirmed whether she can play guitar or not?
I think that'll be an unresolved question. If we ever find the answer too, we'll come back and do a recording.
We know Superfan Lee's a bit disappointed we couldn't get the answer to that.
Superfan Lee's asleep.
But she did
leave you hanging.
It seems like she did do some radio work around 2008 time frame. So, but that's that's based on Wikipedia, and we know how accurate that can be at times.
Yeah.
So, getting on to Brian Rooney, who plays Lenny, obviously.
Lenny.
Who we saw now, in a recent television ad, did we not?
Yes, we did.
Jamie, you
in Australia.
You're still my content, sorry. Mike. What are you doing?
Let's
the only bit that he remembers.
What I noticed, we've mentioned that Lenny was in The Punisher back in 1989 or whatever. What's interesting, there's actually an IMDb credit for The Punisher gag reel from 2013.
What?
I'm like, wow, that's weird that movie had a gag reel that's credited in 2013. So now I really want to watch it.
Like, in 2013, it's like a DVD extra or something. And now that it's been introduced, they had to like date it.
Possibly.
And also now that comic book movies are just crazy, people have probably gone back and discovered a lot of that stuff. So
that's true. That's true.
He was on the show GP, I think, for around 6 years. It credits him for 133 episodes.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's true or not. But it seemed like he was a major character. He was also on a show called Spellbinder from 95 to 97, which I vaguely remember.
And with that, because I don't know, Spellbinder popped up in my YouTube. It must be because I've seen so many of these Feral shows. And I noticed Brian. And it made me laugh. I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
So Brian's done a lot of smaller parts in a lot of productions as well. Obviously, we've mentioned The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
And he's done commercial work, like Mike said. So, it seems like he's had a steady ongoing career. As I said, I'd love to know if he's got anything else lined up, because I thought he was a really good actor, and it was a shame to see that character no longer live, in Feral TV and whatnot, so...
True.
So, a little bit about the two Kylies, because what I probably forgot to mention was... crossed off Keith, obviously, with Mel Heap as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's two Kylies. So you had Kelly Warwick, the original Kylie. We haven't really talked about her. We talked about fake Kylie a little bit. What's that noise, Mike?
What was that?
That was me.
Is that a yawn?
That was Superfan Lee yawning.
Great.
Captivating.
So basically, Kylie, a lot of production roles, a lot of concept artwork for things like Happy Feet and a lot of stuff.
Oh, cool.
Feral seems to be her only acting credit. But what I realised with these IMDb acting credits is that Feral TV, the show, isn't listed on IMDb.
No.
Which makes me think that in order to be a show on IMDb, it needs to fulfil certain criteria, maybe runtime.
Oh, you reckon?
Well, why would it be omitted?
It's just not very big, man. Like, you can't even get it on YouTube. It's so...
Feral TV seems definitely remembered just around the same note as normal Ferals. When you're talking about internet...
I don't know.
When you're talking internet presence and people talking, I think... I mean, there's no... Surely...
You can't even get the episodes, though. Like, people care about it so little that they haven't even uploaded the episodes for free.
It just seems
weird. And also, to debunk your theory, Banana Man is there, show that we've mentioned. And that's from 83 to 86, and that's 5 minutes.
Maybe it's because they require a certain amount of information to be confirmed about a production, and they can't confirm...
How would you even confirm anything? Because there's no credits to watch, and... I don't know.
It just seems weird the Ferrells would be credited, but not Ferrell TV, so...
I agree, it's weird, but I just think it's because you can't even get the episodes anymore. Like, no one seems to have uploaded them anywhere.
Okay, she also worked on a movie called The Magic Pudding. I think we've mentioned this before.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
But what I wanted to actually read was a synopsis for The Magic Pudding, because I'm like, what is it? What the hell is this Magic Pudding? So, like the... what was it? That synopsis I read out about... the young Einstein dude, whatever his name was,
what's that guy's name?
Yeah, anyway, this is the same thing. Like, reading this, would you ever think this would get made if it wasn't probably already a story? Basically, it says, an old man, a young anthropomorphic koala, a South Pole penguin, and Albert, a magic sentient walking and talking bowl of pudding with an attitude, are searching for koala's missing parents. However, sinister forces want the pudding.
An exact movie that I'd want to see, but with porridge, not pudding, unfortunately.
Ah, oh, that was a sequel, The Magic Porridge.
I just have to wait.
Okay, so Danielle Baker, who was Fake Kylie, we've mentioned that she was on some things like Water Rats and whatnot. But what's
weird... I think by the end, I think she won me over.
Yeah,
it was a bit harsh by the end.
I think, she did. But what's interesting, the same year of the Ferrells, the productions might have been afterwards. In 1995, she was in a movie called Lap Dancer.
Whoa.
And she played someone called Lorraine.
Mike's woken up.
Yeah, but he's forgotten to take the mute off, so. Yeah, so I was a bit like, whoa, in the same year that you're playing this puppet kangaroo, you're in a movie called Lap Dancer. But it doesn't say if she was, playing a stripper or anything, so... So, oh, yeah.
It's rated R, this film. Damn.
But maybe we need to... Mike will be interested in that bonus episode.
Indeed, I would. By the way, we have lost a numero uno fan. He's left my residence.
Ah. Oh.
Well, first he fell asleep, then I had to slap him awake, and then he goes, shit, I
better go. We're getting like live feedback now. I think we should all invest some money into buying this Lap Dancer movie and doing a review of it, whether we record it or not.
Mike, you can all right. Be in charge of trying to track that one down.
Yeah, true, actually. Mike, you can buy it. You're in
I'll
your buying
find it
phase.
In my private collection, no doubt.
So we also wanted to talk about the producers of the show, the creators. So one of them, Wendy Gray, she worked on that Upside Down show, but it's been fairly mixed since the Ferrells, and it's really same with Claire Henderson, where Claire, she's worked on a lot more shows though, and also she worked on season 4 of Round the Twist.
Ooh.
Which is a nice tie-in, but
season
it seemed
four.
For both of them. Yeah, season 4, which we weren't going to review.
Well, we'll see, but yeah, not right away.
Not likely. But they both seem to have stopped around 2006. That post then, I really couldn't find much information about either of them. So I'm not sure if they retired or if sort of, couldn't get any other jobs in the industry or what happened there. So,
oh, look, I imagine
sort of our creators.
You got to think a lot of the people at this, point, when the Ferrells was made, have been in the industry for a long time. So, I have no assumptions about age and any of the cast members or the crew, but, we're talking about a show that's 20 years ago. And some of those people could have been in the industry for 20 years before that, so...
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you think about it, and you just make the assumption that people are going to retire and by 65, then that means if you're not younger than 45, you basically would be retired by now. So it definitely seems a likely thing for people who created the show.
Mm.
So, and I mean, is there any other crew that you wanted to talk about?
No, I'll just mention quickly an interesting note about the writers after we talk about the person we haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah. And, yeah, the final person that we wanted to mention. The best to last.
So, Mike, sort of. you were going to cover this one, weren't you?
Mike's dead as well.
Can you guys hear the crickets in the background?
What are you doing, dude? What are you doing?
Anyway. Monkey
no,
boy,
I
you've,
can't.
You've,
I don't know.
So, I mean, I actually don't know how to say his last name, but Mig, is it Ayesa?
Ayesa? Yeah.
I think it's Ayesa.
So, okay. I didn't know, so I only found out today where he was from and
I
his background.
I thought we talked about that.
So, I mean...
One of the... Yeah.
Really? I've forgotten it then.
We thought that he was a Filipino mix, or at least... we thought he was a mix, but I'm not certain.
Thought he was a mix. You've been hanging around with too many pet stores.
That's
thought he was a mix.
That doesn't sound as bad as
Filipino,
you think it sounds.
And he really knows a lot about the Philippines. Like, so basically now he does a lot of this talk show and award shows and all these Filipino shows.
Awesome.
And I was watching this Filipino. It's basically their equivalent of the Tonight Show in the Philippines. And it's very weird, very, very weird. But he knew all this Filipino stuff that our friend Francis would know. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. So, he's probably had the most dynamic career afterwards. So, he had a film role in Queen of the Damned, which was filmed in Victoria, where we all grew up, which is a weird sort of coincidence. And he had a starring role in the reality show Rockstar INXS, and where he came third. So he could have been in INXS, which would have been mind-blowing. Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever heard him sing, but he's an amazing singer. He actually is a really, really good singer. And he just looks like... he doesn't look like he's aged that much. It's crazy if you actually see photos of him, or like videos of him now. So were there anything else that you wanted to mention, Swinny, about Mig?
Well, I don't know what was mentioned because my internet dropped.
Oh, we're just talking about Queen of the Damned and Rockstar INXS.
Well, the fact that Mig's obviously had a very successful career in stage musicals and whatnot. So he's... I can't remember what... I think he did... what's that show? The Rock of Ages, I think he was in, and stuff like that, the Australian performances. That this is just from me randomly seeing it on the internet. So, he's had a very... very big career, and obviously released a whole lot of albums as well. So I haven't listened to any of them personally yet, but I'll probably check them out one day. So
yeah, no, I think, you know, he genuinely, like the Ferrells, he probably doesn't even think about it, or like can't even remember it. I don't know, it'd be interesting to hear his thoughts about it right now. It's probably just such a long time ago, and he's had so many other things in that time period that he's done.
Maybe, but we always all remember really early things we do in a career.
That's true.
The thing is, for the Ferrells, just think about how good it would be for him to audition for stuff with some of the great performances he put on those shows. Especially if you're talking any... stage productions that are a bit more slapstick and require someone to chew the scenery and really play an over the top character. I think that
it's true.
Yeah, he just had to show them like.
Well, he really
scenes,
stood out in the show, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because I didn't really know all the other, you know, that he became kind of famous in his own right after the show until we started doing the show. And then I connected the dots and I was like, oh, wow, it's that guy. Like, that's crazy. It was almost unbelievable. So let's move on to sort of wrapping up, like, the best episodes, the worst episodes, the most contentious,
well, just
our favourite bits.
Very quick note about The Rise, very quick.
Yep.
Is that...
Because this hasn't gone long enough, so go on.
It's a wrap-up show. basically, what I found interesting, when I sorted the episodes based on the total ratings that we have collectively given the shows, the top 10 episodes, other than Tina Matthews, who is has a joint credit on two of the episodes, all the episodes, all the writers in those top 10 episodes are different.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. And the other thing that I wanted to say is I looked at the top five, because they were pretty much bunched up, the top five episodes, and then the bottom four were bunched up at the bottom, and there was a bit of a gap between the rest. That the only consistency, really, is that David Marsh wrote one of the episodes that we hated the most, the $200 bet couch potatoes episode, and he also wrote one of the ones that we liked the most, which was the creepy Robbie's uncle.
Well, that's episode. That's like Andrew Kelly. Now, he wrote Fossil Fools, the very last episode.
Yeah, our favourite episode, yeah.
And he also wrote Ratty Ratty Bang Bang, Mike's least favourite episode.
Well, there you go.
But the one that Muggy Boy, you gave a 9, so that was consistent for
so
you.
So I think let's dive into the top episodes. So I've sorted this out as well. Hopefully it's consistent with your ratings.
Yeah. I grabbed them from your spreadsheet, so...
Okay. So, our favourite episode? Or do you want to go back? I guess we'll go from 5 to number 1. So, the fifth favourite episode was Season 02, Episode 07, which was the episode... I think it was called School's Out.
Yep.
Where all the gang needed to take a test. Which, yeah, that was a very funny episode. The fourth favourite episode was Season 2, Episode 12. I should have wrote the titles of these episodes, but it was the one where Joe got married.
Four,
I think it was Four Ferrells
and a Wedding.
And a Wedding or something.
Yep.
Yeah. So this episode was interesting because Tina Matthews, she was the puppet doctor, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So she co-wrote this episode with the creator of the show, Wendy Gray. And also, this episode was the last episode to be uploaded on the internet. So this episode, everyone wanted to watch because they were actually saying it was a good episode.
And in hindsight,
so I think we can agree that it did.
In hindsight, sort of. I kind of, I would probably rate this episode a little bit higher than what I did, even though I gave it like an 8. I think.
Mm.
I actually gave it a 9, so I couldn't rate it much better. But I probably would bump it up to a 10 and maybe drop Joe's Army maybe a point. So I think that this is a stronger episode than Joe's Army.
So which episode was Joe's Army? Was that episode 13 or 9?
14.
In season 1?
That was the second last episode we watched.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. So the third best episode, as rated by us, like on average, was season 1, episode 13.
True.
The one where we had...
Do you want me to say the titles when you finish?
Yeah, probably, because I didn't write them down. I don't know why. I wrote summaries.
True Romance.
So that's the one where Robbie's creepy uncle is in it, right?
Yes, I didn't remember that, but see, collectively, we're a powerful team.
I know that the ratings reflected it, which is good, but I do think the second best episode and the best episode are the ones that sort of stuck in my mind the most.
Yeah.
So the second best episode was season 1, episode 09. The Rambo
that
Cat episode.
Medigliana.
That was a crazy episode. So, Raddus has a supposed brain issue, and then he has these nightmares, and that was hilarious. That literally, probably that was the one where I laughed the hardest and the most. But there were a few bits where it was a bit soft. But still, I probably look back and go, I should have rated that a 10. I think I was the only one who rated it a 9, and you guys rated it a 10. So,
but it's
I think it would be very much fair.
It's a good thing you did so that we've got a clear top-rated episode.
That's true. So, our top-rated episode, for everyone who has been playing along at home, is the final episode of The Ferrells, which is, you know, nice coincidence. Fossil Fools. I always want to say Fossil Fools. Fossil Fools. Where Joe makes Jurassic Park. I would say that this episode is the most solid from, you know, there aren't any weak scenes in the whole thing. Like, the whole thing is really funny and really solid. Yeah, definitely.
I think it deserves to be the top. Medigliana, while it's amazing, might have had a couple of sections that you could probably say, oh, it wasn't amazing, even though I gave it a 10. Like, you can probably find a fault in it. I think at the time it was such a breath of fresh air, basically. It was like, wow.
Breath of breath air.
It was like,
yeah, that's true.
Wow, this is what we've been waiting for.
Whereas, yeah, that's true. It was also, yeah, in the context of the episodes we'd been watching, the 8 episodes that we'd watched up to that point, it was so much better than all those other 8 episodes. So, going to the bottom 4, just because they're a bit bunched at the bottom, I'll fly through these ones apart from our worst episode. We'll talk to that a little bit more. So, Season 1, Episode 7, the 4th worst rated, was the one where Moddy was singing. You remember that one? Oh, God, that's horrible.
Yep.
You couldn't pay me to watch that episode. It would have to be, like, a bit of money to watch that freaking episode again. I hated it. I actually think I hated that one the most. the 3rd worst, as rated by us, Season 1, Episode 3, which is pretty remarkable that this is rated the 3rd worst, and we continued with the podcast, even after watching this episode. Because, you know, at this stage, this was one of 3 episodes that we watched, and it was rated so poorly. So this is the Couch Potatoes episode, where the $200 bet was made, and they had portable TVs, and it was just
and that'll come up a little later as well.
Okay. Then our 2nd worst episode ever, and I don't really remember that much about it. Season 2, Episode 5, the Rent-A-Pet episode.
That was the one where Raddus was a pimp, and I think looking at it, I rated it as a 5. I didn't mind that episode.
Okay.
You gave it a 1, Monkey Boy. Sheesh.
Yeah, I hated that episode as well. And our universally hated episode, in it's, you know, it's like Star Wars. It rhymes. it's like poetry, right? Season 1, Episode 15, so the finale of the first season, the Christmas episode, is rated as our worst episode. That's where Moddy plays Cinders.
Season the Cinderella greetings. Story.
Season greetings.
Oh, so that was Christmas episode. That was the only redeeming feature of that episode was the after credits with Moddy under the trying to kiss Joe. That was the only redeeming part.
But it was weird. That was weird, though.
I think Mike, you rated that a 6, but I wonder what it would have been if you were rating things normally at that time.
That's true. And I think, like, you know, I'll put these episodes up. So if people want to watch The Ferals, just watch the top 5 episodes and then sort of go from there. Definitely avoid the bottom episodes because they are bad. What I wanted to touch on is the most divisive episode. So the episode where we had the greatest amount of difference in ratings. So you can see this from, like, standard deviation of the ratings. And it's episode 11 from season 2. Entitled, in Seinfeld terms, the one where Raddus shits in the toilet. So this is the one where episode, Mike, no pun intended, absolutely hated this episode. So you actually rated it, what did you rate it, like a 3 or something?
You rated it a 3.
Yeah, and I rated it a 9, and Swinney rated it a 6 for memory. It was all over the place. That was probably the only one that we really went all over the place.
I think the only other episode, the Joe's Army one, Monkey Boy, you gave that a 5 and I gave it a 10. So for us, that was really.
Oh, yeah.
But nothing compared to the other one with the deviation.
Yeah. So comparing season 1 and 2, season 1 on average got 5.9 and season 2 got a 6.6. And overall, the show got about 6.2. So I think that's pretty solid for, like, a kids' show. And I think at least Swinney and I, we're trying to, you know, be a bit dispersive with our ratings and trying to make sure it covers the whole spectrum from 1 to 10.
Average around a 6. Mike, I wonder why. What may have affected that?
Well, saying that, though, so the average on a per sort of, you know, reviewer basis. So Mike had the highest average, 6.8. But he had the lowest standard deviation, so he rated it 6.8, and it was plus or minus 1.7 most of the time. So that sounds about right. What did you guys have? I was the harshest rater. I had 5.8 on average, with a 2.2, like, plus or minus for most of the ratings, and Swinney was 6.1. So we're pretty close. 5.8 and 6.1.
So I consistently thought the show was quite good, and it was a consistent quite good. Well, like a couple of episodes.
Well, I think
really
you went on a stretch
crap
of rating it like 7 or 6 for like a million episodes.
I also noticed I threw out 4 tens, where Monkey Boy, you threw in 1, and Mike, you threw out 3. So I was probably a bit too liberal with the tens.
Well, what I would say is I definitely was a bit too harsh on the tens at times. And I think it was because I was kind of waiting for, like, a really an amazing episode. And definitely Jurassic Park was an amazing
you
episode.
You got it at episode 30.
I know. I was just, yeah, I'm willing to wait.
You're a patient man, but, and it paid off.
In hindsight, Modigliana, which was season 1, episode 9, that should have been a 10. Because, honestly, that's probably the one that stands out the most still. The whole Raddus being Mary Poppins and coming in and Rambo.
Yeah.
That was just crazy, that episode. That
probably that overall, awesome. I'm thinking maybe should have been the overall winner.
Oh, I'm pretty happy Jurassic Park's that episode was the best. And, I mean, that goes into our favourite scene. So that's definitely my favourite scene. Is that sort of, like, your favourite scene, Swinny?
I would say it has to be. I do really like the Joe segment where, after the Happy Birthday episode, where he goes nuts on that tirade and then starts screaming. That is really memorable for me, but the the Mary Poppins segment is just... Yeah, I can't beat that. That was so unexpected and brilliant that, to me, that's the best scene of the entire series.
What I would say on that point that you made, I agree. I reckon if there was one thing that could go viral on a Reddit or an Imgur or something like that, it was that scene where Joe goes crazy and starts smashing everything and yelling. And, like, if you had sound to that, it'd be friggin' hilarious. That'd be awesome. And how about you, Mike? Was the Rambo cat bit, Mary Poppins bit,
absolutely,
the favourite scene? Or cool. So, okay, let's move on to the awards. So,
all right, we'll try. You can play the intro, but we'll try to speed through it a bit. Otherwise, we might have to cut this podcast in half and make two parts of it. I think we almost have to.
Really,
this
3 hours, by the way. That's why Numero
Uno had to leave. I'll do the intro.
Okay, hold on to your stomach. Here we go. It's worse than I thought.
It's a pretty good summary of the podcast so far.
It's worse than I thought.
It's like Lenny is just a bit disheartened and tired.
Okay.
All right, so you take it off, Sweeney.
All right, so the first category, we had the best season 2 cameo. Now, I've got a list. I've got lists for these if you guys need reminders.
Probably, yeah.
My favourite season 2 cameo is Clay the Fitness Instructor.
Oh, yeah.
To me, he was just awesome, but...
He was so awesome.
I don't know, do you guys want to mention yours, or do you want me to give you a bit of a pick list?
Well, what's a pick list?
Okay, so we had the dentist, Brad Ivory, from the first episode. Mm-hmm. We had the health inspector... as I said, Clay, the fitness instructor. We had the school inspector / teacher, so the one that was doing the exam, Cornelia Francis. We had Chad Muffin, Gomez, or Chuck Muffin, according to Monkey Boy. We had Gomez the butler, Nikki from Totally Cool, Scott Scottman.
I've got my favourite cameo.
Faye Kermond, who was Joe's fiance, and Chunky Boy from Crush Kill Destroy.
Yeah. So, wait, I'm getting confused. No, not that one. So, my favourite was the little kid. You know, the little kid that... I'm sure it was in season 2. I hope it was in season 2.
I think that was in season 1.
Oh, damn, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Now,
I'll go with
the little
guy.
Kid showed up in the wedding episode, so technically...
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't do anything.
No, you're right. That's where I got it from, because I think it was the same kid. But, yeah, I think
it was, like, so episode case, 14 of season 1 or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In that case, definitely the gym instructor. He was the best. He was really funny. Or maybe Joe's missus that he goes to marry. Just because, you know, how she has the same moves as him in one scene. That was funny. That made me laugh big time.
Now thinking about it, maybe it was season 2. Maybe you're right. God, I can't
the kid?
Find it. Yeah, I can't find
it. I thought
it
was season 2.
I can't think what episode it is. Maybe it is. All right. If it is, God, we really know our episodes. It just... It doesn't really align with any of the titles, and I can't remember. All right. Let's say the kid was in season 2, and that's your favourite.
Well, if he is in it, I'm trying to find it.
I'm looking at the episode titles. I'm like, Rich and Infamous? No. I'm like,
Yeah, is it this one? Uncle Frank and the kid?
Yeah.
And the kid, yeah, feral robots and catastrophe.
Which episode was that?
And then the kid says, Loserville? Loserville?
Which episode?
Yeah, that was season 2. It was season 2, episode 5.
Oh, Rent-A-Pet. Oh,
Rent-A-Pet. Rent-A-Pet is one of the ones we hated, but I love this bit.
All right, I'm wrong. I'm going to go back with that. Okay, Mike, your favourite cameo?
Yeah, because he was listed as kid. He was listed as kid in IMDb or whatever. Anyway, go on.
Joe's wife.
Mike?
I think.
Fakemond. Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, category 2, best season 2 one-liner. Now, I had to go through my notes for this. I don't think there were as many memorable one-liners as season 1, but I've got a massive list here, but I might pick out some for you guys. So some of the ones that I've noted were Lenny saying, "The mouth is where all the action happens."
Okay, I like that.
Keith saying, "Ah, you can't threaten me, I'm a protected species."
Joe
saying, "Robbie, you'll do anything for $500.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
In the same episode, he says, "Mr. Puniverse line." My favorite, which is Clay saying, "I never go anywhere without my video cam."
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then follows it up later with, "Anybody know why this iron is flashing?" You got the Joe in the Animus segment, which is like, "Where have you been all my life? Count my money." And a whole lot of other awesome ones, like maybe where Keith says, "Crikey, idiot head, think that might have been a clue," when Darren was trying to read. So
there were a lot of good Keith moments in the season, but the bit with Robbie that you pointed out, where you do anything for $500, totally inappropriate. It was awesome. No, that was my favourite. That was definitely my favourite.
How about you, Mark?
I don't know. I don't know if I have a, to be honest, a particular favourite that I can pick out over the other ones. So, I don't know. I can't pick any of them. Like, okay. Those were all really good. I just can't.
All right, I'll randomly pick choose one for you. Okay, you get K on the list, which is Lenny saying, "I've calculated how far the bits will fly."
Let's go with that. They will hit the roof. I'll go with that one.
Okay, category 3. Season 2 Joe moment. So, I don't actually think Joe had as many good moments in Season 2.
When did he fall into the ditch?
There were a few episodes he was barely in it.
He fell into the ditch in the last segment of the last episode. But if you're talking about when he walked into, like, the trap. That was Season 1.
Yeah, that was Season 1.
So, we had... some of the things I picked out were his O-face at Robbie's guitar... the part where he's talking about her and Brad Ivory, and he's like, "Oh, you got a bad girl."
yeah, that was
the
funny.
Part where he does a rock splits after winning the lottery.
Yeah, that was cool.
The part I mentioned with the Animus when he's talking about the women, and when he's patching up the wall like a surgeon, and I think it's Moddy's having to pat his forehead with a. You're like ripping stuff off the wall.
No, man. that's me sitting on a leather chair for 3 hours and sweating and getting glue to it. That's what that is. Trying to move.
So
what, are you naked? You don't have any pants on?
It's not midnight. No,
don't
yet.
Answer that question.
It's not midnight yet.
Don't answer it.
So I like when he does.
I don't have any pants on.
I thought that was my favorite joke.
My bit that I liked was, it was pretty recent as well, is where he's doing the crush, kill, destroy to the chunky guy. So he's like, "Crush, kill, destroy." Actually, that was the Jurassic Park episode when I think about it, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was actually one of my favorite bits because just, I don't know, he just got so into it. I love Joe. He's awesome.
All right, cool. And now, I did have a category 4, which was... best season 2 Lenny device, but when I looked through, weren't. I mean, we had his talking robot, which by itself wasn't funny, but what happened in the podcast I found funny. Probably I thought the dag and the sniff were probably the two best things that he came up with. So the digital and anti-gravity device and the, what was it, solar neutronic something field, force field?
Yeah. I think we were also reading into the whole digital thing by the end. So it's like anything that was created. Oh, that's the digital blah blah.
Well, that's why I said season 2 Lenny device. I kind of, you know, I clarified.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. Like, yeah, I think for me it was the VR machine, whatever it was called, I can't remember. But that VR machine that he built, I think that was season 2.
Okay, so what I'll actually jump ahead to this category just for you, Mike. The sexiest category. The sexiest category.
It's also the sexiest point. Category.
Are we going to talk about that too? Because I'm going to give the same answer.
I like how you just call it. Hey. Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Okay, right. Well, the one I skipped. Oh, we'll extend it longer, Mike. The character Robbie. You most hate to be marooned on an island with.
Oh, hate.
You idiot.
Well, you've opened it up, Mike. You've got to give an answer now.
I know. Come on.
Fake Kylie.
Yeah, that, damn it. That was going to be my answer as well.
See,
fake Kylie just annoying.
I said Moddy because imagine being stuck on an island with someone with that voice screaming at you to collect things and
but
do stuff.
You can throw a cat into the water and she'll just drown and shut up, but you can't really throw a kangaroo because it'll just bounce back and punch you in the face.
Actually,
physics at work.
You know what's really weird though? Because there's a show or something where... Oh, I can't believe I've forgotten. It's Red Dwarf. Where they've purposely brought back Rimmer. So, Red Dwarf, Lister is, in a cryogenic chamber, and then it skips a bunch of time, and the rest of the crew is dead, and he's the only survivor. And the ship can only run one hologram at a time, and it's the person he hates the most, Rimmer, right?
Yeah.
And there's a moment where it's this whole thing of, then he needs to have Rimmer, because he needs someone he doesn't get along with to survive. Because you need sort of... you know, something to fight against in your life. And if he had the character he'd like the most... So, applying that logic, Moddy might be my choice, because... although this is who you'd hate, but... if you had Moddy, you'd always be up and about, because you'd hate her. And it'd be annoying, and you'd shut up, and, you know...
That makes sense.
Exactly. Whereas if it was, Robbie, you'd be, you know... I don't know, trying to bang some...
Leading to the next category, Mike, the sexiest character...
that's a tricky one.
I'll go first.
Wait. I'm going to have to go with Joe.
I knew you were going to say Joe.
Well, you did rate him 9.5, didn't you?
That's true. So why Joe?
Because he's the sexiest. Why else?
He's not from Turkey.
I do not complicate my life with such things anymore. No, obviously Robbie, by far.
You know he can speak English, Mike.
Who?
Nothing.
No, look, I'm going to have to go with Robbie.
I agree.
I go Robbie.
She's spunky.
Fine.
She's a bit annoying, but, and she gets worse in season 2, but she's pretty spunky. You gotta go for
Well, this is joke category, because other than a couple of the cameos, like Faye Commond, who else is it? Aunt Mavis?
Well, you can go for the other team. Yeah. We're not stopping you doing that.
Well, okay, in that case, I choose either Clay or the talking robot.
Okay, great.
The talking robot, I love it.
Okay, all right. So, some of the categories, as with last season, that you guys don't know about. First of all, most redeemed character. This is something I just added in because I thought that there have been a couple of characters that have redeemed themselves.
Fake Kylie.
Yeah, fake Kylie, definitely.
For me, the character that redeemed themselves the most in terms of how interesting they are was actually Lenny. Lenny, to me, in season 1 was relatively one-dimensional a lot of the time. And in season 2, he added lots of layers, crazy, maniacal layers to his character. And kind of redeemed himself to be this really, really interesting character. So, and Fake Kylie obviously redeemed herself as well. So,
I'd still think that Fake Kylie went through Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader type thing. Where we're like... you know, this character, we hate her. And then by the end, we actually, I think, preferred fake Kylie over original Kylie. over the OG, so...
Okay.
I'd definitely put her
first. The second hidden category, this is a short list. Best Mike Random fact.
Could.
I am not allowed to partake in this.
I don't think it's in season two, though, but I still feel like the Brooklyn Bridge thing that he was talking about.
No, okay, so the things that I've gotten from from what I've listened back to already, his Roman numerals, like, attempted fact. his stats about the Beastmaster car, which was impressive.
Yeah, that was very
and,
cool. Are you sure it's called Beastmaster, the car?
Yeah, the car is called Beastmaster in the show. And he said it was like a Toyota Corolla or something, wasn't it?
No, it was
like
a Ford Capri.
Yeah, he picked it out perfectly,
Okay, Ford Capri.
Yeah, he knew it exactly.
Okay.
It was pretty good.
And the third one was the Gallipoli music homage. So, I'm actually going with that because I was shocked that that he knew that link. So,
yeah, I think the Alouette and the Brooklyn Bridge thing, but I think they were both in season one from memory, so... But I guess this is a wrap-up show, so I'm going to run with that.
Alouette was season one, Mike. You can't get away with that, Ian.
Yeah, I know.
Best credit segment. So I'll quickly skim through some of these. So we had the 90s music quiz. We had the Rumble for Robbie. We had the weirdest weddings. The podcast mix-up, which was both the audio and the Google Translate. We had the Doom Door facts, the Fantastic Fun quiz, and the Leave 2015 campaign updates.
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with the Rumble just because how... the amount of effort you put in to set it up, simulate it, get the characters to look correct. That was just... It blew me away. It was fantastic. And as part of this, I'd also like to say a special thanks to all the effort you put in various different episodes with all the little extras. From the singing you've done, to that, to some of the quizzes, you've put in a lot of effort for this stuff. And you as well, obviously, Monkey Boy, for editing all the things. But I just want to specifically shout out that I wish, you know, that you could maybe compile a list of all the things that's when he's done and just have it as a single separate bonus thing. All his songs and his little quizzes and stuff, because it was a really good effort.
Can I just say, if I applied that amount of time and effort to something creativity. That actually mattered, I might actually do something with my life.
Hey, this matters. You're doing something right now. You're 3 hours and 20 minutes
thank
into
you,
like,
thank you.
About a podcast of a show that no one even knows.
Thank you, Mike. And I'll make mention of Luke when we get up to a category coming up, actually.
Who's Luke? For me, I think the music quiz, because even though I'm a huge music fan, and I like, you know, old school music, new, all this other kind of stuff, Mike held me up in that quiz.
I got lucky.
That was embarrassing. I got to a point where I can edit this stuff. I might just edit this out, because it was bad.
I love the music quiz as well. That's my favorite. It was...
Destroyed me,
man. It was so funny. Now, most inappropriate moment of season 2 on the show. I split this up because we got a bit confused last time. So I'll read out some of the inappropriate moments I've noted from the TV show, not the podcast. Okay. So Radis mugs and the unconscious body of Keith. Moddy on the phone with the fake Japanese accent. Radis shitting on the table. Robbie with the bloody butcher's apron. Radis licking the baguette in a phallic manner. Gomez, the indentured Latino servant. And Lenny flicking Robbie's dress strap off.
I like the dress strap because it was unplanned, but it was very subtle. So I don't think a lot of people really... Like, kids wouldn't have spotted that, I reckon.
But it was inappropriate.
It's cool because it was inappropriate in a real-life scenario of him having done it on set. Mm. Whereas the other ones were pre-planned. So,
I think for me, because it's sort of like if I pulled something out of the show and put it on Reddit, and what would the sort of PC police pull up? It would be the Moddy accent, like Japanese accent. that was screwed up. And I was actually waiting a long time for something like that to happen in the show. And to be honest, to be fair to the show, it really doesn't have many of those kind of gags. So
I actually think when Radis mugs the unconscious body of Keith and just kicks him to make sure he's unconscious still, To me, that's just like what that's telling kids is just, it's hilarious. So. Okay, so most inappropriate moment of season 2 on the podcast. So I haven't got everything here, but I've grabbed some of them. So first of all, increased amount of curse words.
I know who that is, Mr. Monkey Boy.
Yeah. I apologize. I think I'm meant to be, you know, editing this thing. I think I'd let a few slip as well through to the final copies that have gone out.
Okay. So some other options: Mike asking if we're circumcised. just randomly. Personalised condom cases. Thank you again, Mike. Aerobics old style. The Mexican space program. Mike's porn strategy, which is finishing on something less obscene. And Beastmaster.
Beastmaster, yeah, by Mike.
Undeniably.
Dude, seriously, that.
Especially the part how dude, that was your
the
default
thing about Beastmaster
search.
Is that it's illegal. That's illegal.
And that was your default search.
It's not even like inappropriate. It's actually illegal. Dude, that's illegal. You can't look at that material, man.
Beast, I don't think it's illegal to look at it. It's illegal to distribute it. Nah.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's illegal, man.
For Swinny's sake.
Oh, how can that not be the most inappropriate thing? It is, man. I'm being 100% serious. So I think that surely is the most inappropriate, given it's against the law in the country that we reside.
Right.
I agree. That was the most inappropriate moment. Although
I blame you.
If Monkey Boy doesn't edit out, there's been a few inappropriate moments in tonight's recording. So,
I'll definitely edit this. This one's going to be a whole bloody day editing.
Okay. Best off-topic conversation. So I'll quickly go through some of these. So Mike's slang quiz.
Can I say what I think mine is, and then you can say the list.
Go. What's yours?
Yep, I think it's where we talked about guns.
You bastard.
That was the best one. Okay. I agree. I second that one.
Okay, so we had Mike's slang quiz when we quizzed him about slang words. We had the Rocky IV robot, which was like 2 minutes out of the podcast dedicated to the Rocky IV.
That's true.
Because Monkey Boy hated the episode so much. We had an entire dog. The Sun Fun Resort reviews, which were hilarious.
That was funny. That was really
Baguette, fun. The most phallic of all bread. we had 10 out of 10, the story about the gymnast picture with the 10 out of 10 drawing.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Swinny's doppelganger showing up and then repeatedly jumping in and out of the podcast. And we had gay Mike Tyson does the ferals. So, I'll just say my favourite was actually the Rocky IV robot, simply because it was just... Not only does that hold a personal place in my heart, but it made for one of the weirdest podcast episodes we've done yet, so...
Yeah, I like the 10 out of 10 story, because it brought me back to it, which was... God, that was so funny. And the Fun Sun Resort reviews, that was pretty funny. It was funny to find a place called exactly that. And it was sort of like matched the sort of description of what it should be, like in the feral universe. So it sounded like we made it all up, but it was real.
So, Mike, any favourite off-topic conversations out of those lists or others?
No. As someone who always goes off-topic, it's hard for me to pick a favourite. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. Okay, next, and only a couple more left. We had, and then we can finish up. Woohoo!
I like how you said this is a short list. This is a bloody long list.
I've been sitting on this chair for.
Okay. Well, I think we'll have to slice this one in two. So, best acquaintance of the podcast. So, we have number one, Superfan Lee. Mm-hmm. Although, I should take him off the list.
Yeah, he left prematurely.
He fell asleep during our recording. I don't blame him.
He's always premature. He's always premature.
We have Dave, who watches the episodes for us on YouTube, so we don't break the law.
True. Yes. That's true.
We have Dave Dobbin, but not the Kiwi one, but the, you know. We have Future Luke.
Yep.
And hey, we fuck have you, Future Luke. Mel Heap.
You bastard.
And we have Mel Heap. So... I am going to go ahead and say that Future Luke is the best acquaintance of the podcast because yes. It's his time and effort that goes into editing not only the curse words, but the actual podcasts. So
I would say that I would agree, as Luke, talking to Future Luke or as Monkey Boy. I even when I say it, I feel like that's someone else gonna do it, that's going to do it. And then it's only on a Sunday night or a Sunday afternoon, I'm like, oh man, I gotta go do this right now, or else we're not gonna get the episode up. So yeah, it does feel like someone else's job, but it's definitely, yeah, mine. And I'm actually become the big culprit of dropping some fine language every now and then.
So Mike, the best acquaintance of the podcast.
Yeah, Future Luke for sure. Let me ask you, does Future Luke curse past Luke?
Okay. Yes, at the time. Because I also listen, when I edited it, I usually listen at about 1.5 speed. And when I swear, I often say it just really quickly. At least when you swear, you really emphasize it, so it's easy to pick it up. But with mine, I sometimes just drop it in underneath my breath. Yes. I'm marking this down right now. Future Luke.
Okay.
Poor bastard.
All right. Two more categories, and we can finally wrap up.
Jesus. Go on.
Favorite moment of the podcast. So I've got a list here, and I'm going to rattle them off very quickly. Mike. Give an answer to this one, because it's very important.
Stay with us.
So, favorite moment of the podcast, we have banana soup. We have black music / rap music.
Mm.
We have two basic gorillas.
Mm.
Sun Fun Resort, like I mentioned. Mm. Benchmark Creative. I Could Mouth That. Shit, You Want to Grab a Coffee. Love Poetry of the Palm / Caucasian. Mike's credit segment about Crystal, where he just told everyone to go do the job for him. Ask Crack Honey Badgers. Mike's story at midnight. How he has to wait to midnight to go out in the nude. Monkey Boy's recovery when he went meek, trying not to reveal his secret identity of Mike, and marketing 1-on-1. So for me,
it's the Cubasic Gorilla thing that made me laugh so much. And I don't know if you guys got around to it, but I sent you a link to another podcast where they mentioned, like, Gorillas. Yay. The game Gorillas and Cubasic.
I'm not the only crazy one. That was awesome.
So I chuckled a lot when they were talking about that. I was like, yeah, wow, that's crazy.
I
think all of those, to be honest, all of those, like, moments were really funny.
I love Cubasic Gorillas, but I also have a fond memory of black music, rap music, because it was just one of those moments where just... I'll probably never forget that, so...
Yeah, I feel like... If there was one thing I could make a shirt, I would write on the shirt, it's black music.
With that context, like,
what the freaking hell is... exactly.
So Mike,
I can carry that.
So Mike, it doesn't have to be in this list, your favourite moment of the podcast?
About 15 minutes from now. Ooh, shots were fired!
Come on, so wrap up.
I don't know, there are seriously so many good bits. There's nothing I can pinpoint in and of itself.
He's going out of the show just as he's come in. A bit scattered. Highlights every now and then.
Okay. All right.
Not following instructions.
The final category. The VIP, the Ferals podcast. Now, we asked Superfan Lee about this.
Can we change it to this to be the MVP of the podcast?
Okay, MVP. The MVP. Okay, that's way better.
Because you're the real MVP.
Okay, you guys aren't going to vote on this.
Okay.
I actually put a secret fan vote
all right,
to take the
poll. I was going to vote between you two for reasons that I stated before.
So, these were the results. Totally official results. So, 22% Monkey Boy. 29% Mike. Okay. And 61%
Nice.
Yes! Told you.
Where were these from?
That was a fan vote. The poll that I ran.
With who?
Totally.
How did you curiosity?
The fans. The important fans, you know.
Okay, let's see. 22% Lee and Kane. How did you get those percentages out of two people?
Well, 22% Monkey Boy, 29% Mike, and 61% Swinny. It all adds up.
Hang on a minute. There's something fishy about those numbers.
I like to test it. It adds up as the test. I'm not sure what it adds up to,
give
but
or take.
Give or take like 11%. Alright, no,
seriously,
that's it.
Big thank you to both of you.
what a strange ending.
Sorry, if I may interject one last time, big thank you for both of you guys for organising most of this. I can't say I felt like a third cog, because I've enjoyed participating in it, but the real hard work was clearly, definitely done by you two. Monkey Boy for putting everything together. I know it's a pain in the butt trying to go back and remember where all the swearing goes and trying to put it all together so it actually comes out as a... Now,
where it goes, yeah,
this is hypothetical, by the way, because I haven't listened to a single one of your episodes, but... I've heard
your episodes.
The ones you put together.
You're really disconnecting yourself.
No. That's not what I meant. I meant the ones you've.
Okay, wait. I'm going to revise my answer. This is my favorite moment of the show.
I've heard from various sources, reliable sources, that it's been a really good job. Mm. And by the way, I'm kidding. I've listened to a few of the episodes. And you, Swinny, for all the awesome extra bits that you've added. Every single time you come up with something, I was like just shocked how good it is. So thank you.
Well, because he has low expectations.
No, I've got really high. I know he used to be in a band. Yet to this day when he sings, I'm like, wow, that is so cool. He's got such a cool voice.
Can I please ask nobody judge my singing ability based on these recordings?
What? I thought they were really good. Again, low expectations, awesome. I guess, but still.
Awesome. Recorded through a podcast microphone in one take.
So is that
finished. Thanks again, guys, for the experience.
Okay, so I want to add my thanks. Thanks, firstly, to you two for you know, getting the show up and running. I think it actually, if we think about, okay, all the way back early this year, it was crazy, man. And to think that we've gone through, done every single episode, did a bonus episode, done now this wrap-up episode, it's awesome. Like, I'm so glad that we did it. I think we'll probably listen to this maybe once or twice, and then in 10 years' time, we'll listen to some of it, and it'll be hilarious, like, listening back. So from a personal perspective, thanks to Jess for putting up with hours of me recording, including tonight, where it's 3.5 hours of recording and all the editing.
Thanks, Jess.
To the YouTubers who gave us access to these episodes.
Yep.
So to Mr. Simple Simon 1987, to The Ferals TV, to Movies by Hannah, and to Moddy 01, we think we know who that is. Thank you.
Speaking
thank you
of,
so much. We wouldn't be
Mel,
able to do the show without you guys. Yeah, thanks, Mel. You know, totally coincidentally. Thanks, Mel, for coming on the show. That was awesome. Thanks to all the Redditors who pumped the show up and got our listener numbers up. Thanks to Kane Shakespeare and Lee, our super fans. And yeah, just to say it again, I can't say it more than enough. Thanks to you two for being on the show. It's been awesome.
Thank you, Monkey Boy and Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Now, cool. I think that's a fitting time to play a song. To fade out our final Ferals podcast episode. Now I've done some songs. I've done some songs about the Ferals TV show before, but this one's a little different. So,
and before we go, maybe we should say goodbye first.
About 6 months.
What was that like?
Now you're gonna have to edit all of that out. Jesus, that was such an awesome ending. God. We should all say goodbye first.
You started speaking.
And then you faded with the song.
Mike, you're drunk. Go home.
Okay. So, you know, I think this is very well, you know, structured given our normal episodes. Next week, we've got our best of season 2, but This is our final piece of original content.
About 6 months ago, Monkey Boy had an idea for a very peculiar show. Maybe it was that nostalgia twitch, those childhood feels that cause the itch, or maybe just didn't have a job for a while. When he pitched this strange idea, Mike and Swinney weren't so sincere. They wouldn't commit to more than the first season, if that. Now we remember feeling low by episode 3, Couch Potatoes. But our doubts faded out as we became true fans of the show. So bye-bye Pharaoh's podcast, goodbye. Drove the listeners insane with our antics at times. And Monkey Boy dragged in Swinney and Mike right into a world that exemplifies gratuitous violence and lies. If Mike wrote the book of love, then the very first line would be etched in stone. Oh shit, you wanna grab a coffee? Still, it was one effective line. Got him a girl at least half the time. Well, maybe just the ones who spoke English. But Mike was a deeply tortured soul. Cute basic gorillas torment him so. The podcast exercise is now you're basically alive again. It's a lonely flea ridden immigrant wearing his awesome fake added ass pants. But he knew it was his second chance the day he started the show. But now I say bye, bye, Pharaoh's podcast, goodbye. Drove the listeners insane with our antics and times. And good old Mike will curse to the day that he dies. Saying screw that future Luke and his plans. Screw that future Luke and his plans. I met a man in Officeworks. I asked him if he needed help, but he just pointed at his headphones and shrugged. Then he went to the grocery store to buy some tongues and seed clusters and other various pink dollar products. That man's name was Dave Dobbins, but not the famous Kiwi one. An object of obsession, Swinney's slice of heaven. The one listener we never bribed, super friendly, that awesome guy. He finally unsubscribed the day the podcast died. So bye bye Pharaoh's podcast, goodbye. Drove the listeners insane with our antics at times. As these three men leave through the doom door, it'll cry, screaming. Now we're saying bye. Podcast goodbye. Drove the listeners insane with our antics at times. Now Monkey Boy, Swinney and Mike are saying thanks for all the laughs and goodbye.
I'm sad.
That's awesome, dude.
Well done, man.
That was awesome, man.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.